Continuing in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and last week we went through verse 8 and we saw the unsearchable riches of Christ. As I said, we can never ever finish that topic until we are here on this earth, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now we are going to continue from verse 9 up to verse 11. And it says here, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, in verse 9, as we see that it's a continuation of that unsearchable riches of Christ, and verse 9, it says that, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, to make all see. All means that all people are not going to see this. The word all means the elect Jews and the elect Gentiles will see. Not all people are not going to see. If all people will see, then all people will come to the knowledge and all people will be saved. And also it says here, fellowship of the mystery. I told you, mystery, whenever you see the word mystery in the New Testament, it is something hidden. Now it is being revealed to the church, to the fellowship. Now, basically, it's something that is hidden before, now revealed to the church, to the fellowship. So, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now, we are going to see this mystery. And if you see, then it continues. Then it says that from which the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Now, all things were made by him. John chapter 1 verse 3 says all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1 verse 3. Now what is the mystery that is being hidden? And to the church now that is being revealed. The mystery we saw that the Gentiles were brought to the church. And the mystery that is being revealed to the church is through the gospel. The unsearchable riches of Christ is found in the gospel. We can see, now we can see, or we are enlightened and brought to the light of the gospel of grace. You know, if you see in verse 9, the last part, it says that, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, and now this mystery is being brought to us. So here we see it's been enlightened by the gospel. We were in darkness, but by the grace of God, by His choice, we were brought to the light, to an understanding. Now, if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. It's God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wow. It is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Wow. This is amazing. It's a God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It's a God who brought us from darkness to the light. It is God who gave us the knowledge, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, mystery of God, the, the gospel of God that came to the Gentiles came through Jesus Christ. Now, it says here, if you turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. And also the last part of verse 9, it says that, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 says, which was hidden in God before, okay, through the ages it has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Now this mystery has been revealed. Now first John chapter 1 verse 18 says, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, had declared Him. Now Jesus declared the mystery to us. Whenever you see He is in the bosom of the Father, it means that He is through eternity with the Father. He is through eternity. Jesus Christ is eternal, always with the Father. God Himself, who has proclaimed us, revealed to us of the will of God the Father. So this is the mystery has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ, who is at the bosom of the Father. Now, the gospel of grace was hidden from the beginning of the ages. That means the gospel of grace, it is really for the Gentiles, right? The grace of the gospel, who did not deserve anything, the Gentiles, it has been revealed through Jesus Christ. It is the same Jesus Christ who created all things, and same Jesus Christ who revealed the will of God to us. So the hidden mystery really is the grace of God in the gospel for the Gentiles. And we are going to see this now in the next verse, if you read verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Alright. I know when you read this, it sounds very, what is Paul talking here? Do you understand? Who are the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places here? Is he talking about earthly rulers, the judges, the presidents, the prime ministers? Or is he talking about the Satan and his evil angels, principalities and the powers? Or is he talking something else? And if you really see, it says here, to the intent now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. That means through the church. It is the church. Through the church it was known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That means the church was used to proclaim this wisdom of God to the principalities and the powers of the heavenly places. So Paul is talking here, he's talking here of not the rulers of this earth or the fallen angels. Paul is really speaking here, the angels, the good angels. So Paul is saying here, through the church, this wisdom of God will be known to the angels. Preaching of the gospel was not conveyed to the devils, but to the angels. But how can the angels come to know this manifold wisdom of God through the church? Think about it. How come the angels come to know this manifold wisdom of God through the church? Who is the church? Is the church a building? No. Church is you and me and people who are saved. So how come the angels come to know the manifold wisdom of God through us who are saved? Us Christians. Now I'm going to put this in a way that you can understand, okay? Alright. If there's an book, if there's an author who has written a book, alright, and he's the author, he detailed everything what he was going to write. Now, he wrote the book. Now what is going to happen is he's going to make that book into a drama. Alright? Now, the author who wrote the book and who is going to make that into a drama, he knows the beginning and the end and all the details what is going to happen, right? Because he's the author. Now, during the drama, when things happen, the author is not going to be surprised at all. Because he's the one who wrote the book. Right? Now, in the same way, God is the author. He wrote the script. We are the actors. We don't even know that. Alright? We are the actors, and who are the audience? The angels are the angels. They are the audience. Does the audience know what is happening? Everything? No, they don't. They don't know the whole thing, what is happening. Alright. Now that is what happened. The drama unfolds across the centuries from Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses. Jesus is the center of the drama. The apostles. And we are the players in the drama. And Satan is the enemy here trying to stop the work. And the audience, the angels saying, wow, unbelievable. And they are watching this. Amazing. Now, thing is this. Although we are actors, we don't even know that we are. A lot of times we do a lot of things according to our free will. Okay? According to our. But we don't know that God has, He wrote the script. This is amazing. John Calvin put it this way. Let me quote John Calvin. The church, composed both of Jews and Gentiles, is a mirror in which angels behold the astonishing wisdom of God displayed in a manner unknown to them before. They see a work which is new to them, and the reason of which was hidden in God. In this manner, not by learning anything from the lips of men, do they make progress. Now let me give you a little scripture here. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Hold on to Ephesians chapter 3. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. And it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Now let me explain further. Angels, they dwell in heaven in the presence of God. Angels are holy and they are in the presence of God. Angels do not walk by faith. The preaching of the gospel is not given to the angels who are holy. Let me give a little bit more further. We who are totally wicked, sinful, we were living in darkness, enjoying the pleasures of this world. We were against God's will. We were at enmity with God. Now angels look down at us
and say, oh my goodness, these guys are never going to get saved. They will never expect a wild, wicked sinners like us to be saved. But God, who is the author, did not use the perfect angels to preach the gospel. But He used poor, weak men as instruments, which even angels were astonished. How can they succeed when there is a powerful enemy like Satan and the fallen demons who are so powerful against those weak human beings? Those who would preach the gospel are mocked, ridiculed, persecuted. But the outcome is amazing. It's not the people who call themselves good and religious being saved. That's another one. But totally sinful, wicked people are saved. And the angels look at this and say, this is amazing. This is the amazing wisdom of God. So when angels see a sinner who is totally sinful, wicked, living in darkness, get saved, what do they do? Turn with me to Luke. I'm sorry. Before we go to that, let me show you something. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Matthew 21:31. And Jesus said, which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, as assuredly I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Now that is amazing. How the people get saved. It's not the good people who are going to be saved, but the tax collectors, harlots, who are totally wickedful sinners, they are going to heaven. And angels see this and they are amazed. And also Mark chapter 4 verse 11. Mark 4:11. To them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things comes in parables. They don't understand. They don't get it. But only to those who are given to know the mystery of God. Wow. That means to those who are elected by God, they get it. But the others don't. Now we can learn a lesson on evangelism on this one. Especially in the ministry of Jesus. He put priority in preaching the gospel to the poor. Jesus said unto his disciples, Matthew chapter 19:23, he said, verily, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. That means he's saying it is very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then he said, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. How easy it is for a camel, who is very big, to go through an eye of a needle. How easy is it? Jesus said, it's not easy. But how easy it is for a rich man to go to heaven. It is not easy at all. That's what Jesus is saying. If you see the ministry of Jesus, Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Wow. Now, the power of the gospel is such that God can use weak vessels like us, sinners, and weak vessels like us to proclaim the gospel to the sinful people. Now, if religious people, you know, and good moral people are going to be saved, are the angels going to be really surprised? If, quote unquote, those good, standard, moral people, but the religious type people are going to be saved, how surprised are the angels going to be? I don't think so. But if drug addicts, immoral, drunkards, even cannibals in some parts of Africa who get saved, wow, that's amazing. And angels will say, wow, this is truly the wisdom of God. So in evangelism, a lot of times we go to people who are nice. We don't want to go to those people who are mean looking, who are drug addicts, who are bad, wicked, because we think they'll never get saved. But that's not how Jesus operated. If that is true, where is the grace of God? So we put a lot of times, we put our thinking, our efforts, you know, we try to help God a lot of times, instead of totally trusting in the grace of God. You know, secular history concentrate on the changing of the map of the world as one nation defeats another, the rise and fall of empires. But the Bible speaks of the church. There are no territorial frontiers. The church is in the forefront. We have a battle against the powers of darkness, bringing rebels who will repent and making them into saints. We see the change of lives by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So the angels who are in the very presence of God did not know this mystery. A God that the Gentiles, the wicked, miserable, pitiful, wretched people will come to know the Lord. Now it is being revealed when they see these sinners coming to Christ by the proclamation of the gospel. There's an audience watching here, the drama of redemption. So when a wicked, sinful sinner is converted to Christ, what will the angels do who are watching this? And they are the audience. What will they do? You want to know what they'll do? Turn with me to Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Luke 15, verse 10. 15:10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who... You get this whole story here now? You understand Ephesians chapter 3:10 better? Amazing, isn't it? Now, let's put it the other way around. It doesn't say that when one sinner repents, alright, it says here, when one sinner repents, the angels of God rejoice. Doesn't say when a sinner loses his salvation, angels will weep. Because salvation is a one-time act. You will not lose your salvation as some people who preach. I lost my salvation. Then if that is true, oh, angels will rejoice that you receive your salvation. Next time angels will weep. Oh, you lost it. Oh my goodness, we are all weeping. What kind of wisdom of God is that? Now read Ephesians 3:10. It says here, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. You see, by the church. God uses us as instruments, right? To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Wow. The angel. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, who is the author? God is the author. He wrote the book. He wrote the script. The author of salvation, the person who wrote the script, is none other than God himself. When you say according to the eternal purpose, it means according to the decree of God. It means that things come to pass according to God's divine purpose rather than by a chance. To deny the decrees of God is practically to dethrone God. It puts God, if you deny that, it put God as a helpless spectator. And the church is trying to help God here. This is not true. When you look at many churches today, they do not understand the amazing grace of God. Many think that man has the power to say yes or no to salvation, to the gospel. So God is begging and weeping and pulling his hair. Please come to me. Please. It's a God who is crying and weeping. It's a God who is helpless. This is not the God of the Bible. God planned, he purposed, and he predetermined. He wrote the book. He wrote the script. If we wrote the script, the person who wrote the script, when the drama happens, he's not going to be amazed, because he knows exactly what he wrote, exactly what he's wrote is going to happen. If things are going to change, then he's not God. He's the author of the book, who he wrote everything in detail. In detail. You know how much detail he wrote? Jesus said, a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his knowledge. Now that is detail. How many sparrows are there in the world? Not only that, Jesus said, your hairs are numbered. How much detail you want? How many hairs do you have? You don't know, but God knows. How much detail you want. So God wrote everything in the book in detail, minute detail. God told Abraham, go and count the stars in the sky. God told Abraham, count the sands in the seashore. Now that is detail. We have a powerful God. What I mean powerful means absolutely, infinitely powerful. This powerful God, when he wrote the script, when he wrote the book, he knows absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, he knows everything. And we don't need to help him, but we need all the help from him. Now, see Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Ephesians 1:9. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which is purpose in himself. God purposed everything according to his good pleasure. He is not crying and weeping. That's not his good pleasure. The entire salvation is displayed by the great wisdom of God. According to his purpose, he purposed that some would be saved and some would not. You ask why the others will not be saved? If all are saved, then all will go to heaven. But we know that all are not going to heaven. We have dealt with this subject before, previously. Now, God was not taken out. If God wrote the script, He knows everything from A to Z. Was He taken out of balance when Adam sinned? He said, oh my goodness, I'm shocked. But He's the one who wrote the script. But some churches, they say that, you know, when Adam sinned, so God, plan A got messed up, now God has to go to plan B. And thinking, now what am I going to do? Now I had to send my Savior, Jesus Christ. No, it's not like that. God is not changing His plans all the time like we do. He's not a man. Okay? If He does, then how can we trust in a God like in God? If He changes, if He's going to change plans all the time. How can you be sure of your future? How can you be sure of your salvation? How can you be sure that you go to heaven? How can you be sure of the trust that you have in Jesus if God is going to change His plans? Because He doesn't know what's going to happen next time. God is the author. He wrote the script. And we are all in the script, acting according to the script. We don't even know that. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, for I, the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. For I am the Lord, I change not. And also Isaiah chapter 46 verse 9. Isaiah 46:9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Amazing, isn't it? He's got a powerful God who knows, wrote the script, He knows in from the beginning. He does everything according to His counsel and everything is going to happen His way. 9/11, did God know that it's going to happen? Yes, He did. Were we surprised? Yeah, we were surprised. Because we are mere human beings. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Acts 15:18. To God from eternity, all His works, known unto God, are all His works from the beginning of the world. Or through eternity, everything that happens is known to God. Nothing, God is not surprised at all. Absolutely not. God's secret will is the rule of His actions. His revealed will is the rule of our actions. The secret will of God is His program according to all things that will come to pass. His revealed will gives us our program according to which we are to work. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belongs unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of this law. So, now in closing, the covenant of grace was made in heaven before the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 1:9, who saved us and called us
with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose, again, according to His decree there. And grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So, all the glory goes to the one who wrote the script. In the drama, the author of the book of salvation and the one who performed salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. He's coming into this world. His suffering, His death, He being the mediator, forgiving us our sins, cleansing us, and even making us righteous before God. That is amazing. Sinners who are totally wicked, totally wicked sinners, God made them righteous. That means God made them righteous as infinite righteousness was given to them. Wow, this is amazing. Now, made us righteous before God, and we are called now the children of God. So the angels say, wisdom of God. How precious is the grace of God. Isaac Watts, he wrote in one of his hymns, His providence unfolds the book and makes His counsels shine. Each opening leaf and every stroke fulfills some deep design. In thy fair book of life and grace, oh, may I find my name recorded in some humble place beneath my Lord the Lamb. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. Please, a little bit last time. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. But we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow. The glory and the honor goes to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The author of salvation is God, and the performer of salvation is the Lord. He is the author of salvation and the performer of salvation. This is amazing. When you see the scriptures unfolding, and when you see things like this, I mean, our hearts should get melted. When angels rejoice, you know, just imagine this, that when you, we don't deserve anything, when you are being used as an instrument to God, to preach the gospel to somebody. Just imagine that. And just imagine, you know, this is totally mind-boggling. And a lot of times, as I said before, you know, God uses people who are weak. People who are weak. A lot of times, you know, we listen to the enemy, and the enemy says, you can do because you're weak, you don't know this, you don't know that. How can you do this? And we say, yes, I can. Maybe the pastor should go and do it. Maybe somebody else should go and do it. Not me. I just wash dishes. I just cook. That's the enemy talking. You know, God uses everybody, all the Christians, for His glory. It's nobody. The more you think you're weak, the more God can use you. The more you think, well, I'm somebody, God doesn't want to use you. Because God doesn't want the glory goes to you. He wants the glory.
So the more you think that you're weak, you can't, God wants to use you. See the apostle, the fisherman. What did they have? And God gets the glory, and the angels, they are amazed in the gospel. Imagine, you know, not only, just imagine, first, everything was given to the Jews, right? The Jews, I mean, they had everything of God. They knew the things of God. But now, look at now. Who would imagine people in China would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Who would imagine people in Africa, those people, some of the cannibals, would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Who would imagine the people somewhere in South America or people in India with all kinds of different languages and different cultures and different backgrounds? They have totally different lifestyles. So many languages, so many cultures. Everything is different. But they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is amazing. It was before, it was one culture, one location, one people. But now, it is the entire world. People even in the islands. This is amazing. But we are in a generation that I want to be in the blessing. I want to be blessed. I want to be in the blessing part of God's program so I can see. I want to be in it. So God can say, well done, my servant. And then I can give all the glory to God. Look at Revelation 5:11. Let me close with this. Revelation 5:11. Look, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. That means you cannot number. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You know, I'm sure the angels were amazed when the Lord came to this earth and born of a poor virgin. The angels then proclaimed to Mary, you are blessed, but we don't know how this is going to happen. But you're going to be blessed. Amazing. Then how the life of Jesus Christ on this earth. You know, not only that, when he was crucified, just imagine, everybody thought, oh, I wonder the audience looking at this, the audience, the angels looking at this when Jesus was crucified, what did they think? But after the third day, when Jesus rose from the dead, now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Verse 13 says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and such are in the sea, and that all that are in them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him. Let me ask you a question. Where are you coming here? Tell me, where are you? It says, blessing, honor and glory and power be to him, not to us. You are not there. The power of salvation is not in man. Man has no power in salvation. Then he says, to be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. We don't get any honor, no glory, absolutely nothing. God gets the glory. Amazing. As we continue, we are going to see next week, not only that, you will see that how we can come boldly to the throne room of God. That's going to be a continuation. Before, who would ever thought that we can do that? Let's pray. Father, we pray.